VCY America presents Crosstalk, a nationwide call-in program discussing issues that have an effect on our families, our communities, our churches, our nation, and our world. Crosstalk, an opportunity for you to voice your concerns for biblical principles. And now live by satellite and around the world on the internet at vcyamerica.org. Here is today's Crosstalk.
And we thank you for joining us on Crosstalk here on VCY America. Ladies and gentlemen, within the last hour, I checked the U.S. national debt clock. It showed nearly $30.5 trillion in national debt. As you know, inflation is out of control. Our fuel prices are skyrocketing, with some stations reprogramming their pumps to be able to go $10 or higher per gallon. If your last visit to the grocery store hasn't told you something is going on, I mean, look what's happening to groceries. Beef, milk, eggs, need they say more? Or in some instances, good luck. If what you're looking for is there, should I say the words baby formula? Or now even a recall of Jif peanut butter? What impact have past decisions had on where we are today? And by the decisions being made today, where are we headed for the future? Over two-thirds of this country is saying the economy is bad. Ladies and gentlemen, we are a nation in economic turmoil. With us today, we welcome Dr. Ron Paul. He's a medical doctor. He served in the U.S. Air Force and Air National Guard. Elected to the U.S. House of Representatives, where he served multiple terms, and is chairman and founder of the Ron Paul Institute for Peace and Prosperity. Dr. Paul, thank you for joining us today.
Very nice. Nice to be with you.
We have doubled this national debt in just the last 10 years, and nearly six times greater than where it was in the year 2000. It was just over 5-point-something trillion in debt. You have monitored this. You have lived this. You've been in Congress serving for many years. What has brought us to this point? You've warned us about what's brought us to this point.
There's a multiple causes, but a basic cause is greed and this fascination with inflation, which is corruption and which is fraud. That is, everybody wants something in Washington, going to Washington. You know, there's the welfare state, and then there's the warfare state, too. You know, they have to go over and spend quite a few billion dollars in Ukraine, and that's totally out of control. But the real menace is the fact that they get away with this because they don't have to pay for it. Because we have the reserve currency of the world, and the people trust us, and they've gotten away with false trust for a long time, even though we've been deceiving them, that is coming to an end. But the fact that they have accepted the dollar, still do to a large degree, we have a freedom to use this because you have an advantage when you have the reserve currency of the world. But that's all coming to an end. But it's all been built, and all the extravagance has been handled, by fraudulent money. So it's a very much of a biblical issue because it's very clear that biblically you're not supposed to commit fraud. You're supposed to have honest weights and measures, and we haven't. But the amazing thing is how long this has lasted. Because it was, we had a Federal Reserve in 1913, 1934. Americans weren't even allowed to own gold anymore. And then the total separation occurred in 1971. So there's no restraint on the printing of money. And you quoted, some of the figures already on how fast it's the debt is rising. You know, it tripled since 2008. That's you're going from 10 to 30, similar to what you had just said.
Right.
So there's no limit, and the numbers we're talking about means it's equivalent to the amount of liberty that we're losing.
That's a good point. We'll be getting to that as well. But we have virtually been told that we can spend our way out of this mess. I mean, whether it's President Biden or Speaker Pelosi, they point to how we're lowering our deficit, and it's critical for us to keep spending. Brother Paul, I may not be the sharpest knife in the drawer, but something's not adding up here.
Well, on the short term, they have to. They will do it. They can't quit because when the debt gets this big and you're not going to work your way out of it, the debt will be liquidated. That's just the laws of nature, the laws of economics. It's so big because people aren't all of a sudden going to reduce all government spending by, say, 10%, quit printing the money, and start winding down the debt. It's not going to happen. So, but the debt will be liquidated, and the market dictates that. And that is, yes, everybody's bills will be paid. People will express concern to me about, that means we won't get our Social Security checks. Now, you're going to get your Social Security checks. The money is going to go out. Just look at what they did with COVID. Everybody got checks more than ever before. But it's the liquidation of debt comes from the destruction of value, and that's why the market is working just fine. It was expected. People shouldn't be surprised. You know, they're wringing their hands. Well, nobody predicted this. Well, anybody who understood Austrian economics understood that the lock-in to this inflation has been there for a long time. All the spending has gone on for the 10, 20, 30 years, especially in the last 10 years is what's happened, especially with COVID and the war going on. That has told us that this would happen. So it's a natural thing and something you should expect. But the debt will be liquidated, but it will not be by hard work and a philosophy of frugality where people quit spending and live within their means.
Yes,
it's not going to happen.
Yeah. So let's talk about these COVID relief monies. I mean, it seemed as we were leaving the Trump presidency and going into the Biden presidency that the economy was coming back, and then another round of checks went out. I mean, that has a direct impact upon inflation, does it not?
Well, indirectly it does, because every time we spend, it is a tax. If they were going to pay the bills, they'd have to tax somebody. They don't do that. The tax ends up by printing money, and then they don't even have to go into your bank account. You don't have to send the IRS check. Well, you had $1,000 last night. Well, it's worth $500. Somebody just stole $500 from you, and they didn't even have to knock on your door. They didn't use any guns or anything. So they're collecting it, but they can get away with it for so long, and that's because there are some benefits still that we have with the market. And even though we've been abusing the currency for a long time, the market's been so good at producing. It's very productive. So if you have a real healthy economy, it sort of hides the ill effects of inflation. But now we're past that stage, and the money is circulating. The value of the money is going down. Prices inevitably have to go up. I think we're just at the beginning of seeing what's going to really happen.
Wow, that's quite a statement. We're just at the beginning of what's going to happen. Who is holding our debt?
Well, a lot of people, you know, they say, well, we're holding it. Well, you know, Social Security, when they get money, we say that, but they have it. And so the government holds it, insurance companies hold it, banks hold it, the Japanese hold it, the Chinese hold it. I mean, it is spread around because it has been acceptable. And that caused more, the greater distortions in it. So sometimes people, it's really easy to come down really hard on China, but we have responsibilities too, because we live beyond our means. We have a welfare warfare state. We spend the money. We buy stuff, you know, from China. They take our dollars. As a matter of fact, they prolong, you know, our prosperity in a sense. They take our dollars, and we don't even really have to pay for it. We just print more dollars until they get dollars and start spending it, and then that comes back to haunt us. So, but it is dishonest money that where it all begins, and that encourages people to have dishonest government and encourages people to live beyond their means, and those are rules that they're breaking. And even though they last for a long time, inevitably they come to an end, and that's what we're witnessing right now.
Dr. Ron Paul is with us here today. Dr. Paul, you mentioned the reserve currency being the dollar. How long is this going to hold out? We know that there's some countries that are looking at really changing the reserve currency not being the dollar. How long is this going to hold out?
Well, nobody knows that, because pricing and decisions like this involve subjectivity too. How much is the panic and who's doing it? But when the dollar really goes down, that's when it ends as a reserve currency. And I've told people, well, people will say, you know, the dollar's still strong on international markets. It went up 10% last year or so, which is a tremendous boost in the value of the dollar. At this past week, it started to go back down again. But I tell people that's not the thing you have to look at. If you want to try to figure out when it's coming and when we'll lose it, you do not know the dates, but when you know it's getting closer is when people complain about how much they're paying for gasoline.
Uh-huh.
And guess what? Everybody's complaining about gasoline. It's worse than the 70s. And in the 70s is when I got interested in this monetary issue.
Mm-hmm.
But the potential is much worse in the 70s, and I think people are recognizing that.
Well, you know, I saw this interesting also with all these sanctions against Russia. The rubles are doing really, really well right now.
Yeah, and you know what I saw the other day? I thought this was a bit ironic because it looks like we've really piled heavy on the Russians, but, mm-hmm. but they made a lot of profits in energy. Some of the dumb policies that we have put on our own people in this country and made us dependent on foreigners pushed up the prices. Guess what? We got hit. Our consumers, our people got hit. And Russia made a lot of money because they were able to sell their oil. You know, they've been able to. And that's where the signs of switching to another reserve currency is occurring. They've been able to make some big sales in oil, especially it's easy for the Chinese and the Russians mm-hmm. to do business and do it on rubles or gold or whatever they want. They just ignore us. Now, that's a significant event, meaning that we are getting closer to when other people will also quit using the dollar. But we've thrown our weight around for a long time, and the world's not exactly happy with our empire. You know, we're in 130 countries around the world,
mm-hmm.
and we have been fighting a lot of no-win, unconstitutional wars here in the last 30 years or longer. I mean, I was drafted in the 60s, you know, for Vietnam, but the people didn't declare that war.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it was just started by the politicians. But right now, though, we're the biggest, most important sign. Everybody knows it, but I'm not sure they know the significance. And that is how much a bag of groceries have cost.
Yes.
A bag of groceries or gasoline or medical care. That is skyrocketing. But that people should say that prices are not going up. Is the dollar value going down? It's so important because if they say the prices are going up, what the saying goes that when this happens, they go, the people and the special interests go to the government. The prices are up. What we need is more money. Of course, it was more money that devalued the currency.
Right. So,
it's a suicidal trap that's going on here. And I just say that it's zero chance that we will all of a sudden wise up and do the right thing. At this moment, there will be a time when people might say, hey, maybe this honest buy stuff has something to say about it. And actually, it's almost an insult to us. The Russians, they're starting to back their ruble with gold. And that's sort of sad.
Wow.
That just bugs me to no end because we should know better. But I started off with saying there's a lot of greed and avarice that causes people to do this. And they don't want to pay for it. That's what we do. We think the world should take our dollars and we shouldn't have to pay for it. And if they don't follow our rules, we'll threaten them with sanctions, make the problem worse.
Tell you what, we got to butt in here for a break. Ron Paul, our guest today, back in 1 minute. You're listening to Crosstalk. Back to Genesis with Dr. John Morris, scientist and president of the Institute for Creation Research. Dr. Morris, has it finally happened? Can computers outthink humans?
No, they can't, Chris. Now, they can outperform humans on some difficult tasks, but they're not really thinking. For instance, calculators can do mathematical manipulations much more quickly and accurately than humans. But keep in mind, they were designed by humans and programmed to do these various tasks. They're not thinking, they're just doing the things they were designed to do. No, Chris, machines can't actually think, nor do they exercise real judgment. This is reserved for mankind, created in the image of God, just like it says back in Genesis.
Thanks, Dr. Morris.
To learn more about creation, get our free DVD called That's a Fact. Visit our web store at icr.org/store and use the promo code FACT at the checkout when ordering your That's a Fact DVD.
A Nation in Economic Turmoil, our topic today. Dr. Ron Paul is our guest, a medical doctor, served in the military, elected to the House of Representatives, served there many times, fighting on behalf of the very things he's talking about here today, and sound economic policy, which is just so foreign of an idea to those in leadership. But let's talk about this, the cost of oil. We are told this is Russia's fault, but when you look at the steps that President Biden took when he became president, I mean, the story is very telling to the point where he is propelling us to this Green New Deal. Senator Josh Hawley put it this way. He said he immediately reentered the Paris Climate Accord. He canceled the Keystone Pipeline. He halted leasing programs in Anwar. He issued a 60-day halt on all new oil and gas leases and drilling permits on federal lands and waters. That's nationwide. He directed federal agencies to eliminate all supports for fossil fuels. He imposed a new regulation on oil and gas and methane emissions. Those were all in just the first few days. Let me just play this, Dr. Paul. It's a brief clip of President Biden this week as he addressed these rising fuel costs. Here's what he had to say. Let's listen in.
And when it comes to the gas prices, we're going through an incredible transition that is taking place that, God willing, when it's over, will be stronger and the world will be stronger and less reliant on fossil fuels when this is over.
Yeah, Dr. Paul, it seems that what we're seeing at the pump is just part of the president's agenda.
Oh, I think so. And if people get involved in trying to understand cultural Marxism, that's exactly what their plan.
Yes, yes.
That is what their plan is. Chaos is what they're after, and they want to rebuild our nation. But all those things you listed, excuse me, as, the Biden contribution to rising costs, and they're all true. But just think of everything you listed there, which was a disaster, was on top of the fact that prices were going to go up anyway, you know, due to the inflation. So it's a combination. It isn't one or two, but it's it. We had the inflation coming. Matter of fact, the recession and the inflation started even before COVID. Then the COVID came and the lockdowns came, and it just got a lot worse. So this to me is unbelievable. But it's almost like self-destructive. Why do they do it? It doesn't make any sense. And the only way I can understand it myself is that they're not totally stupid. Maybe they have a reason for this. And after looking the best I can at history and what's happening, is that, yes, and just listen to some of those politicians that are already in our Congress. You know, the whole thing they're doing, the policy, is designed to have chaos. And I think this is not just Biden or Trump. This has been going on a long time. You know, to undermine the monetary system started in 1913, as well as the taxing system. It's just that we've lived so long on largesse and the ability to use force and power to have people listen and listen to us and obey us, because we had the money, we had the weaponry, and people had to do it. But that just made the problem that much worse. That's why this is a gigantuan bubble that we're in, because it lasted so long. And most of the time before, bubbles would be let out, you know, the sort of let some of it go and the bubble would shrink a little bit. But right now, both you and I have already mentioned how astounded we are, how much money printing and the debt explosion, you know, in the last 5 to 10 years.
You know, and another aspect we talked about was the food issue. And now we have the Ukrainian President Zelensky. He's talking about a global food crisis coming. And you mentioned earlier, we're just on the brink of things really to come. But if they said, if we can't free our ports, there's going to be a crisis in the world of grain and barley and sunflower. And then at the UN Security Council meeting, they're talking about the world's wheat supply is only going to last about 10 weeks. So your thoughts on the food supply and food prices and what's to come there?
Yep, that's coming. And when in the last year or so, when I started seeing these lines and those lines of ships coming in, I thought to myself, that never happens when you have a free market. You know, they get busy and they clean up this mess, even if government helped create it. But there is no free market, so there's no solution. It just keeps getting worse. That is a big deal, because they're not going to change it. They're going to continue to do the same thing. Oh, we're short money, print more money, more debt. And they've been taught in universities for years. So that's why I put a lot of blame on the educational system in this country. You know, from the early years in our government schools all the way up through college, it teaches this stuff. I mean, Austrian free market economics, it's taught in some places, and there are people who are learning about it, like an institute like the Mises Institute teaches about this. But most people that I met in Washington, I would say 98% of the people knew only about socialism and Keynesianism, where deficits don't matter, honest money is stupid, and what you want is a powerful military and maintain an empire, and that's how you become a great nation. And their greatness, though, unfortunately, crashes, eventually hurting the people who are usually innocent and have been suffering already.
I found it very interesting, a story last Friday as well that came out from CNSNews.com, and it's about another shortage to add to the list of domestic shortages. And, Ron, it's a shortage of paper for printing ballots. And I thought, what a great excuse for transforming our election system. We don't have the right paper, the special papers that are utilized for ballots. Could there be a connection there?
Well, I don't know. Probably. Mises made a famous statement about government and paper money. He said that it's only government that can take perfectly useful paper, slap some ink on it, and make it worthless. So that's pretty characteristic. Yeah. Maybe that's what they're doing. I don't know whether they would do that or not. I think their mechanism for cheating in elections has already been greased, and they've gotten away with it.
Yeah.
But who knows what happened? Yeah. I recall in one of the dates I cite a lot of time when I got really interested in getting involved in public affairs and going and running for office was back in 1971 with the breakdown of the Bretton Woods Agreement. I remember Nixon so clearly on a Sunday night that he announced wage and price controls and closing the gold window and added taxes, all this. And actually, the markets loved it. But it was a real awakening for me to look at that. And it didn't take very long, because within the week we had shortages. And, you know, price, because everybody, it was so much of a blanket wage and price control. We didn't have that this time, but that's essentially what we're dealing with, is we don't have a unit of account. We don't have honest money. And believe me, if you had to have one thing to restrain all the stuff that government is doing and get the economy under control, is just having an honest unit of account. And, of course, that's been done for probably close to 3,000 years. And that has operated, and right now we don't have the definition. That's what we're struggling through. Are the Russians going to be able to define the item of account, the unit of account? Well, who knows? But right now, they're getting ready to reject the dollar as the unit of account, the measuring rod for everything that we do financially.
Dr. Paul, I know there are many people that are frustrated. They hear what's going on. They see what's taking place at the grocery stores, at the gas pump, and all throughout the war on energy in our nation as well. And they feel like we're spinning our wheels and wonder, what can I do as an individual? Can I be a part of the solution? How can the American people address this issue, get engaged in this issue, and be a part of the solution?
Well, I think the first and most important thing is education and understanding basic economics, because there are a lot of good people who want to help, and their instincts are good, but they haven't been exposed to sound economic policy. I mean, we just don't teach it. So I think I was exposed even before 1971 to the Foundation for Economic Education that Leonard Reed ran, and he taught after World War II. He set this thing up, and that was his main goal, in a private way, teaching it. It was sort of a private school. One of the things that I've done since I left Congress is I have a homeschooling group. It's called the Ron Paul Curriculum. And long term, you know, it's not gigantic, but the sizes, they don't matter. It's the quality of people that might have strong beliefs that can spread a message. And almost all we have, both good and bad, the majority of people who sort of go along. The propagandists are the ones who, you know, make the difference on which way we go. And right now, the propagandists have been in the universities, all the media, social media, mm-hmm. the whole works, and, you know, even the business community, they join in on this cultural Marxism too. So they're in charge. But I'm an optimist in the sense that the other side, the side that you and I seem to share, is that this is good. You know, people do care. You talk to a lot of people, sounds like to me, with your radio station, mm-hmm. that I think the people are out there. And I found that out when I was running for president, that I went to universities. One of the largest crowds of enthusiastic young people was at Berkeley, California. But they were hearing a different story,
yes.
and it was devoid of all the other stuff that goes on in the political system. And so I generally am pretty optimistic, because it's getting people to know these ideas and not being despondent and saying, oh, well, there's only 10% of the people believe that. What percent of the people do you think were really supportive of American Revolution? It was not a large number, a large percentage, but we had quality people who were leaders and knew something about biblical history, mm-hmm. and economic history back then. And fortunately, we ended up getting a lot of blessings in this country. But what bothers me is I see it disappearing if we don't grab hold of that.
Yeah.
The remnant needs to be exposed to a lot more people.
Yeah, indeed. And, I mean, we're a nation that has been so plentiful, we've forgotten God through this process.
That is right.
And his bountiful hand. And we saw that even in an address President Lincoln made some years ago. This fix, though, it's not a short-term fix. I mean, this has really got to be a long-term commitment by this nation.
There's no doubt about it. You know, there's always the short and the long term, but right now it is a struggle who's going to be predominant.
Mm-hmm.
And the big problem is I see it so much in the medical terms. There's a lot of addiction to all this stuff that the government does, you know, all the policies of printing money and deficit. And if you have a patient that's addicted, you know, getting him off first, the patient has to decide, I really want cured from this. I want to get over my addiction. And then they have to go through all the symptoms of the withdrawal. And when people have to do this politically, what it does generally, it stirs up the energy of the people who are saying, it's the government's fault, it's not the people's fault, what we want is the government to give us more stuff.
Right.
And we want to be engaged, but we have to get the people in Washington that right now, I think the one of the biggest problems we have now is we can't even define truth. You know, and I have a strong belief that you have to be seeking the truth, and we've lost that, and we have become nihilistic. It is amazing to me that the nihilists say it's unknowable. There's no way you can define truth. And then when we appointed the Supreme Court justice,
yeah.
say, what can you define a woman for me? Oh, I don't know what a woman is.
Don't know what it is. Got to take a quick break. Back in 1 minute. This is Crosstalk on VCY America.
Year after year, generation after generation, we as Americans enjoy the right and opportunity to let our voices be heard through the election of our governing officials. With over 200 years of peaceful transition from one elected body to another, the stability of America's republic stands alone among nations. Our founders pledged their life, their fortune, and their sacred honor in the establishment of this nation. our country's founding documents have guided this nation and are the substance by which today's laws are judged. Do you own a copy of the Constitution? Documents of Freedom is a pocket-sized booklet containing the Constitution, the Bill of Rights, and all other amendments passed. The booklet also features the Declaration of Independence and Washington's Farewell. Documents of Freedom is available for a donation of $5 or more to VCY America and can be made by calling 1-800-729-9829. That's 1-800-729-9829.
You're listening to Crosstalk on VCY America. Dr. Ron Paul, our guest here today on the broadcast. Our phone number to Crosstalk, 800-733-9829. That's 800-733-9829. We're talking about a nation in economic turmoil. Dr. Paul, early in our interview, you mentioned the word liberty, and I think it's important that you address this issue on how our liberty is impacted by all of this.
Well, to simplify it for me to understand it, the bigger the government is, the less liberty you have. And to have true liberty and spiritual liberty as well as economic liberty, people have to assume responsibility for themselves. And these last 100 years, we've had the authoritarians who accept communism and socialism and fascism to deny the fact that you're responsible for yourself. You're always a victim, especially if things aren't going well. You're a victim, and you have the right, and you are required, and it's a good thing for you to go and demand that somebody else take care of you. And that's the opposite of liberty. You're not assuming responsibility for oneself, and you're blaming somebody else. And that's and the goal for me and others have been, and the founders certainly, is to put the responsibility on the individuals. That is not what we have today, even though, like I said, there are people out there thinking more about it. And I think that as you know, the whole problem may be coming to an end, because when this really comes down on us, maybe it will light a fire under the people who have fought. Maybe this whole thing is a mess, and we don't want to go to total dictatorship. So liberty has to be done by recognizing that the government can't provide you that liberty. It's due to the individual to declare themselves, to be a free person and responsible for what they're doing.
Dr. Ron Paul with us here today. Our phone number to Crosstalk, 800-733-9829. Let's begin in Hartford, Wisconsin. Lee, thanks for calling Crosstalk. You're on the air.
Thank you. Dr. Paul, it is a real privilege to speak with you, because I've watched you over the years and just how you really fought with common sense. And, and I watch your son now, and just, boy, what a voice of reason you two have been. My question is, two things. I can't see us getting out of this mess without, there's just going to be a crash, and I'm just sick that everything we're borrowing, we're putting on our children's children. It's just terrible. It's wrong. We have some voices that are good, like Marjorie Taylor Greene and other people that are just scolding the Congress. But anyways, my question is, at the end of the Obama years, there was like $9 trillion that was missing from the Federal Reserve, and there was never anything answered about that. Do you know what happened with that? And also, are we still practicing that quantitative easing to the same extent that we were then? I'll listen off the air.
Thank you, Lee.
Yes, they're continuing with the principle of the quantitative easing, because if they don't, interest rates would try to go back to normal, and getting interest rates back to normal is very, very important. And instead of the market deciding, how much savings there should be and what the interest rate should be, it's the government that does it through the Federal Reserve. So they're still doing that. That particular $9 trillion, there's so much of that going around, and I don't know whether I'd be talking about the same $9 trillion, but there are many, many trillions of dollars, because whether it's the stuff we put out overseas, see, every time we send some money overseas, I consider it illegal and immoral and bad, because anytime we take money, no matter how humanitarian it is argued that you send money to people in war zones and where people are starving, to me it's taking money from poor people in this country and giving it to the rich people in poor countries, because there's always, you know, the leaders there that confiscate everything that we send, but punishing our people here at home. And we're doing more of that right now. When you look at the billions and billions of dollars being spent on another undeclared war, it's devastating to the people here at home. And you say, well, how could it be? Yeah, well, because poor people still try to eat, and they like to have a car to go to work, and that's where they're being hit. So the middle class and the poor suffer the most from this. But the monetary policy has remained the same. They can't cut back. They can't, resist saying they know what interest rate. The insanity of zero and negative interest rate makes no economic sense. It's just more fraud that goes on, and that's why this bubble is so big and so dangerous. And that, to me, is also the reason why we need a lot more effort for people to understand, you know, the system. And it's also the reason I have my homeschooling group.
And where can people get more information about the homeschooling?
The Ron Paul curriculum.
Okay.
.com.
Okay.
RonPaulCurriculum.com.
RonPaulCurriculum.com. Brian is calling from Kennewick, Washington. You're on the air, Brian. Hello, Brian. Brian. Let's go to Rob in Pennsylvania. Rob, you're on the air.
Hey, how you doing? Hey, Dr. Paul. Hey, you talked about the debt is so huge. I think you said $30 trillion at the beginning of the program, that at some point some of it will have to be liquidated. Can you just explain that and what some of the implications of that might be, like maybe a reduced bond rating in our country, or being beholden to some type of foreign government because we can't afford to pay that off? Could you just go into that in a little more detail?
It's $100,000. Well, how that happens. But the liquidation is going on all the time, and it just got accelerated. Although it was predictable and we knew it was coming, because when interest rates were zero, and they say, you know, our problem is, I can't believe this, but our problem by the Fed said, we don't have enough price inflation. We want prices to go up at 2%, because we hear if there's a healthy economy, prices go up, which is total nonsense. So the liquidation occurs when the prices go up. So if you have a save, let's say you're saving for your child's education, you save for 20 years and you put away $100,000, and then the time comes to buy the college education, it's $200,000. You know, so there's been a liquidation. That meant that your money became worth one half less. You know, it lost 50%. So there's a liquidation. Now, if you have total runaway inflation, like something like in Zimbabwe or Germany in the old days, that's total liquidation. So you have no value left. And so it's ongoing and steady and different things. There's a theory in Austrian economics which I find fascinating. It's called the subjective theory of value. So you could say, Ron, well, we understand you print too much money, the value of the money goes down. But not quite so simple, because there is desires and preferences and moods and all kinds of things affect it. So it's not automatic. If you could print money, double the money supply tomorrow, and everybody benefited, prices went up for everybody the same, wages went up for everybody the same, but you can't do that calculation. So you have to see what the market's going to do. But the liquidation would be irregular. It could get to, but let's hope we can get some people waking up before we get to the point like we're in Zimbabwe, because you'll have riots in the streets, and we've already seen riots in the streets.
Well, the scary thing, too, I think it looks like it may even be approaching GDP, which is kind of scary, which is kind of getting out of control. But I thank you for your answer. I appreciate your information.
Thank you, Rob. Appreciate the call. Dominique in Mukwonago, Wisconsin, you're on the air.
Thank you. Well, Ron Paul, my husband and I have really appreciated what you've done in Congress over the years and the platform of constitutional liberty that you brought to the consciousness of so many in your 2012 presidential run that we fully supported. My question for you is, with the corruption of the Federal Reserve and the fall of the dollar, if people can't transfer their quote-unquote wealth to gold or silver, other assets. Is everyone's 401k just going to be wiped out? I know they want to do that with a Great Reset anyway, but or do you recommend anything that can be done to salvage them? Let's go with your recommendation.
Well, the 401ks are the few people I've talked to specifically about that. I hear there's a lot of people hurting now, you know, because look at what the prices have done. The stock market's down, but it's only starting. That's the problem. It's only starting down. You know, they were saying, are we really in a bear market? Are we down 10% in so many days and this sort of thing? And they're already hurting. No, I think it's going to get much worse, and a lot of people are going to go broke, you know, over all this. And that's what we should be trying to prevent. But the whole thing is people aren't going to be willing to do what they have to do. And that is we have to change the government we have. You know, as long as the majority, and I do argue the fact that, governments reflect a prevailing attitude of the people. So you can't just say we have only the bad people in Congress and they do this over and above what the people want. No, the prevailing attitude of people is, like I said earlier, that, you know, prices are going up. Give me more money.
Yeah.
You know, and that's about as far as they've gone in economics. But I just wonder, I imagine somebody knows how many people listen to your radio station, but your stations like this influences a lot of people, and that's why we have to talk about sound money. I want people to, you know, plan, and it's going to be different for everybody, how you have a preservation of your liberties. I think friendships and coalitions and getting along with people is a big thing when things get really tough.
Yep.
So survival is going to be a big deal, and people are doing various things. You know, people that live in some rural areas are certainly a lot better off than the people live in downtown San Francisco, some of these other cities. That's devastation. So yes, survival is a big thing, but I think spiritual coalitions are a good way to do that. And I see there are groups forming like that and trying to provide medical care for each other. So the people who know what's going on should know each other. I think that's important.
Great, thank you, Dominique. Doug in Arizona, you're on the air. Hello, Doug.
Yes.
You're on the air, Doug. Please go ahead.
Asking Dr. Paul, what's happening with the Republican Party, why they've allowed themselves to be infiltrated, and why they don't stick to their platform, and why states, especially red states, don't nullify these unconstitutional actions of Congress by just refusing to go along with it.
Okay, thank you, Doug. And Dr. Paul, we have just a minute before the break. Go ahead.
Well, I think this is representing the fact that Republicans and Democrats probably went to government schools for most of their lives. So they've been conditioned. It's only a degree. See, I can get into trouble sometimes when I say, you know, this bipartisanship. Boy, everybody's shouting, what we need is bipartisanship to get along together and do this. No, there's way too much bipartisanship. And the Republicans have a different social appearance. There's differences there. But the people say, well, what we need to do is get together so we can solve some of these problems. But if you look at the Federal Reserve, you take a guy like McConnell. He's horrible on the Federal Reserve and foreign policy and all these things. And they're at top leadership positions because the deep state is in control. They control the financial system, the Federal Reserve, the universities, and the leadership of both parties are the same. They pretend and they fight these tough battles, but McConnell and the Democratic leadership, they get along quite well. So their economic policies are the same. Their war policies are the same. The spending policies are the same. Just their tone and their appeal to the base.
Tell you what, we're up against a break back in 1 minute. This is Crosstalk. For the Worldview Report, I'm Brandon House. Our website is worldviewreport.com. In November of 2021, a group known as NTI, Nuclear Threat Initiative, put out a report of a fake country
that had an outbreak of monkeypox. And in the report, they said it would outbreak in May of 2022, May 15th, 2022, to be precise. Well, guess what? That's pretty much when we started hearing about monkeypox in the news overseas and now in America. They went on to describe the goal, the objective, give more power to the World Health Organization, which is China, which is also the biggest funder of WHO, reported to be Bill Gates. So do you want the UN, Bill Gates, and China running our healthcare system and telling us when there's an emergency and when we have to shut down our businesses and our churches and our schools and stay inside? If we don't fight this global tyranny, that's what's coming. They've already gained it, and now it's being rolled out. For the Worldview Report, I'm Brandon House.
This is Crosstalk on VCY America. Again, the website for our guest today, ronpaulcurriculum.com. Dr. Ron Paul is with us here today, and we're going right back to the phone lines on Crosstalk. Let's go to Arkansas. We have Alice calling. Hi, Alice. You're on the air.
Oh, thank you so much for taking my call. I've got so many thoughts in my mind concerning the Bible. First of all, mankind was created for the pleasure of God. Mm-hmm. To find that love, joy, and peace that can only come with God. And when we don't have that, then we do have the greed. We were told in the Bible, in the New Testament, to work with our own hands, to give to those that have not. Jesus, to love thy neighbor mm-hmm. as thyself. If only mankind's heart could be changed from its deceitful wickedness, being born again, we would solve these problems. God would solve them. We need a revival in this country. Mm-hmm.
Thank you, Alice, for those sentiments here today. And indeed, those aspects, Ron, are there for us as individuals to have these acts of charity. That is not the responsibility of the government.
No, and that's a big mistake when people rely on the government for this. The government is supposed to provide an environment where we have the most opportunity to be, self-reliant and solve our problems voluntarily. I love the word voluntarism. Mm-hmm. That's what freedom is all about. And, of course, that means voluntarism and freedom in our choice of our spiritual lives as well. And that would go a long way to solving these problems.
Indeed. Let's go to Roger in Milwaukee, Wisconsin. Roger, you're on the air.
Yes. My question, I guess, is wondering what to do with your estate. I have, over the years, being 57, I've got some properties and some money and assets, and just trying to figure out what to do with it, not so much as trying to save it for myself, but willing, do it. You turn it over to God, give it to the church, and let them do that. They've always been, a good steward, I guess, with money. But instead of letting the government take control of it and have nothing for it, now if you give it to the church or ministries, then I guess the word gets a chance to go out. So I guess that's what I'm battling. Just trying to figure that out since the Bible prophecy saying that it's all of this stuff is going to happen. Mm-hmm. So just trying to figure out what to do with the assets.
Yeah.
Well, I'm not in the business of being the asset manager. I think what I think of first is family. If there's family involved, it makes it a lot easier trying to help them and preserve it, and if they have your same values. But it's going to be different for everybody because, all organization types, have shortcomings. Everybody that's in certain groups aren't necessarily going to do what you want. That is why trusted people, trust is a big deal in trying to solve that problem. And hopefully there's family that can benefit from the things that you've done.
And those ministries and organizations that you have come to trust as well, Roger, would be something that you can remember in your estate plan. We don't know, certainly the end one day will come. We don't know when that will be, but we are called to be faithful stewards. And appreciate your call. Murr is calling next. Go ahead, Murr, you're on the air.
Oh, thank you. Yes, good to hear both of you. In 1933, Rosenfeld bankrupted the country 4 days after he was inaugurated on March 9, 1933. And in 93, Jim Traficant spoke that into the congressional record. He only had 3 minutes. But if you go to Anti-Corruption Society, you will find the PDF there of the rest of the story, as if Paul Harvey would say, right? Okay.
Do you have a question for our guest today?
I wanted to just say, make a couple comments here. This is very important. This bankruptcy has not stopped. Congress are trustees only, and all the legislation goes to agencies given to them by the committees, like the CFR, and they can turn legislation 180 degrees if they so choose.
Okay.
And that's what they do. But the most important thing we can do is something we shouldn't do, and that is boycott all grown up, mancott all the media.
Okay. I tell you what, you're going many different directions with your comments here today, but thank you for the call. Any comments you want to make on anything she said there, Ron?
No, not exactly. I wasn't sure I followed the whole.
Okay, let's go to Frank in Florida. Frank, you're on the air.
Yes, hello. It's a pleasure and honor to speak to you. I listen every day. The question what I want to bring forward is that the $9 trillion missing belongs to the Montana Freeman on the interest of $40 billion in gold or silver mini coin of Treasury origin, United States of America. And I can't see why nobody, and I, even myself, I hold myself in total disdain for not doing anything I could to free Roy Michael Schweitzer, the Chief Justice, and at that time was a major president of the United States of America.
Dr. Paul, any comment?
Well, when I was on the Gold Commission, one of the goals that I had set was to, do an audit of the gold holdings and seeing what's going on. And there were 17 members of the Gold Commission. There were only two of us that voted that we should check up and see if the gold is still there. So there's so many dishonest things going on, you know, monitoring and doing audits. Just for instance, the Pentagon has never been audited. And you're talking about trillions and trillions of dollars. Government itself is what they're talking about on this $9 trillion. The government itself is corrupt. There's not much you can depend on the government straighten things out. The government has created most of our problem, so they're not going to likely be cooperative in us finding out what really went on.
Frank, thank you so much for your call. Dr. Paul, we have just 30 seconds left. What thought would you like to leave with our listeners today?
Well, I earlier said that I lean toward optimism because I meet a lot of people. And I still think there's a lot of good in people. I think there is a remnant out there that has held true to the faith as well as to sound economics and that they know about a higher law. And I don't worry about percentages because I think that if there's 5 or 10 or 12%, you're still part of a remnant.
Mm-hmm.
And that is the group that will have the influence in rebuilding our society when it becomes absolutely necessary.
RonPaulCurriculum.com. And Dr. Paul, thank you for carving out the hour to join our listeners here today.
Thank you.
Dr. Ron Paul, our guest here today on Crosstalk. Again, that website, RonPaulCurriculum.com, to learn more information there. But certainly a nation in economic turmoil, and friends, to be educated is so critical on this important aspect of understanding even basic economics. Thanks for joining us here today on Crosstalk.
You've been listening to Crosstalk via satellite and the Internet from VCY America. Views expressed may or may not be those of this station. For a CD of today's program, send a donation of $6 or more to VCY Tape Ministry, 3434 West Kilbourne Avenue, Milwaukee, Wisconsin, 53208. Or download by RSS or podcast from crosstalkamerica.com. And join us again for Crosstalk.